Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Happy Tuesday night to you. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 4 hours. This is what they pay me to do. Talk. Talk about sports. Have a good time. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. I'm being joined by super producer and host of Dave Shepard. I'm being joined happily by everybody listening all over North America. A big shout out to all my friends, the University of Maryland up in Baltimore. Had an excellent time with them today. The Media for the Movement tour continues and moves on. Can't wait to share with you some of the conversations that I had with the students, with an athlete, my main man, Adam Hayes. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Once I finished up that engagement, happened to be walking by a television screen and boom, breaking news. Steve Nash out as head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And by the way, the Brooklyn Nets, they just played a basketball game in Brooklyn against the Chicago Bulls. And with Jacques Vaughn pretty much stepping in as an interim, the Bulls come back to beat the Nets 108-99. So for one night, for one game, Steve Nash not being on the bench doesn't make too much of a difference for the Brooklyn Nets, who cannot stop or could not stop a hot Zach LaVine late. The Brooklyn Nets, when they fired Steve Nash or they mutually agreed to part, the team was 2-5. Right now, these Brooklyn Nets, after this loss to the Bulls, they fall to 2-6. I'm going to talk about this this mutually parting of ways. We're going to get into that momentarily. The college football playoff rankings are out. Tennessee is at the top. We pretty much are a couple of days away as well from the start of the college basketball season. We have some expectations there as the Sporting News put out their rankings. And John Calipari, I don't know why he's doing it, but he's pretty much trying to bring down and tamper expectations for his Wildcats. So we'll talk about that. Dwight Howard sharing his thoughts and opinions on his standing in the NBA as one of the greatest players of all time. And then at the same time, this is pretty wild. Hey, Shep, did you know the World Series is going on right now?
Is that taking place tonight?
It is. The Phillies are whooping that ass in Philadelphia.
JR, they'd lose at home.
It's 7-0 right now against the Astros. Looking to take a 2-1 lead here in the World Series. This is nice. I think most of America rooting against the Houston Astros. And let's see if the Phillies can hold on. Right now, the game is in the top of the sixth. If you want to holler at me, it's real simple here. We got a phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me. I am at JR Sport Brief everywhere on social media. Hey, Shep, where the hell are you at? You keep it simple. What's your name, man?
Well, my name is David Shepard. I'm at the Good Shepherd underscore. I don't quite have the following you do. I don't have as many platforms as you do. How you keep track of it is beyond me. By the way, how you go to Maryland and back is beyond me, too.
Why not? What's so difficult? We got things called the plane. We could thank the Wright brothers.
Yeah, you're hosting a national radio show across 300 markets across North America and worldwide with the free Odyssey app, and you got time to do that throughout a day, too? It's amazing.
Hey, listen, man, it's for a good cause. It's for a good reason with good people. So I can't wait to share that conversation with everybody later on in the show. You bring up an excellent point. I have to ask you this question. Why the Good Shepherd and not the Bad Shepherd?
Well, so, JR, for me, there's a movie called The Good Shepherd, obviously, yes. Starring Matt Damon. And I thought it was catchy. I thought it was something to be, you know, memorable. So it's a fair question. I mean, people like bad. People like, things in the media that are scandalous. But so I don't know if teetering on good works, but I think it's worked for me so far.
I think it has.
Thank you, sir.
I like bad, though. Bad isn't good.
But you know what? Someone good, yeah, as you alluded to, who's good to the media, good to the players, it kind of backfired on him just 2 years into the job.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Talking about Steve Nash.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't have a job anymore.
This man did not. I'm happy for Steve Nash. I'm thrilled that he no longer has to put up with this nonsense. I know that Kyrie Irving, everything with the weekend pretty much was it. Steve Nash having to talk to the media and try to explain up the ladder, you know, what the team was going to do with Kyrie Irving after he decided to, you know, share that film, which is offensive to a lot of individuals in the Jewish community. Like, do you think this is what Steve Nash came out of retirement to do? You think this is what he wanted for his first job? Steve Nash is one of the most accomplished basketball players of all time. Multiple MVPs, regardless of whether you think he should have won them. A success with the Suns, coming out of nowhere to bounce back with the Mavs. And he's a Hall of Famer. And he's also, yes, as Shep said, he is one of the nicest individuals you will ever meet. Post-retirement, or when he retired, yes, Steve Nash spent time, A, broadcasting. This man would go around the country just randomly playing soccer. He's an amazing athlete. He was, quote-unquote, living his best life. And then this opportunity came about to coach the Brooklyn Nets. This was almost like, oh, my God. Steve Nash, a first-time head coach, one of the greatest point guards of all time, has a chance and an opportunity to hook up with a team that has Kevin Durant and, at that time, Kyrie Irving. No-brainer, right? No-brainer. Automatic compete for a championship, and they almost did it. Kyrie Irving got hurt. James Harden gets traded in. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to get a shot. Kyrie Irving now comes back this season. There's already controversy. Durant wants to leave in the offseason. James Harden wants to bounce because of the nonsense with Kyrie. Ben Simmons comes in. He's hurt. He has no confidence. The team plays no defense. It is just a complete blank show. And so, at approximately 12 noon Eastern time today, it was announced that they were done. That Steve Nash would continue on with his wonderful life, co-owning soccer teams, traveling around, being an ambassador for the game in Canada, in the United States of America, talking about soccer and football and basketball, living the good life, before he paused his retirement to coach baby-ass NBA players, complaining NBA players. And it only took 7 games? Kevin Durant made his trade request, and then a couple of months later, it was then, oh, well, I'll come back if Steve Nash and Marks are done. 7 games into the season? Steve Nash was just like, I ain't got time for this. This is one of the times where I feel that this is almost like a relief. Was it a mutual decision? Did Steve Nash go up to his buddy Sean Marks? Did he approach Josiah and say, I got to go? Or did they approach him? It doesn't matter. This is a relief for Steve Nash. And he didn't deserve this. And we know the first person to go in any situation where you can't just dump the players, the coach got to go. Steve Nash is gone. Jacques Vaughn coached the team tonight, as I mentioned to you. They lost with the interim title to the Chicago Bulls. And the report pretty much is, as soon as tomorrow, the Brooklyn Nets are ready to bring in Ime Udoka. Yes, the same man who was suspended, put on the bench, put on the shelf by the Boston Celtics for an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate. Well, they letting him go. They're going to let this man coach the Nets, of, by the way, he was on Steve Nash's staff a few years ago. He was also on the Sixers staff a few years ago. Nice tie-in there to Ben Simmons. He also, when he played as a longtime member of the San Antonio Spurs, he was also with the general manager of the team at the time, or a former player, Sean Marks, who runs the Brooklyn Nets. And so there are some pre-existing relationships that are there. Now, is Ime Udoka supposed to make that much of a difference? I don't know. This is a train wreck. The team has now fallen to 2-6 after tonight. Steve Nash was given the boot. I'm actually thrilled for him that he doesn't have to deal with this nonsense. And Sean Marks had to address the media today. He had to sit down and answer the quote-unquote tough questions. Sean, what the hell do you think about people who look at this team and just really feel down about them? And even the Kyrie situation. What do you have to say, Sean?
I'm certainly not proud of the situation we find ourselves in. You know, I would like to turn, you know, ESPN or the TV on and not find you talking about us, you know, in that manner, to be quite frank. You know, I'd like to get back to basketball. I think that's what our players would like to get back to. They'd like to focus on the things that are important here, and that's competing at the highest level and playing basketball games.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Would be nice. I think it's too far gone for that, because I look at my watch, my imaginary watch, and I say, how long is it before Kyrie Irving says something else crazy? How much longer do we have to wait before Kyrie comes out and just says something wild? A matter of fact, the Brooklyn Nets have made it very clear that it's not a foregone conclusion that he will not be punished in some type of way. Do I think it will happen? No, that's me personally. But they've left the option out on the table. And so Sean Marks, knowing that Kyrie Irving has been away from the media since this past weekend, is back and forth with Nick Friedel. He's not talking. This is what Sean Marks had to say about Kyrie Irving being away from the media.
We don't want to cause, more fuss right now, more interaction with people. Like, let's let him simmer down and let's let this whole, let the cooler minds prevail. I don't want to get into who and how and when these conversations are happening. They're ongoing. I think at the right point and the right time, I mean, you know, Kai can address these for himself and our group will as well.
Simmer down. Is that possible for Kyrie Irving? Can that man simmer down? I feel like the last time I heard that phrase or expression used, it was like a kid's cartoon. Simmer down, simmer down. It's been a while. There ain't no simmering here with Kyrie Irving. This guy's piping hot. He boiling all over the place. I wish you could just slap him off the stove and get rid of him. He's the bad part of the meal. Everything tastes good except for him. Get rid of him. Tonight, by the way, terrible game by Kyrie Irving. 33 minutes on the floor. 4 points. 2 of 12 from the field. 0 of 6 from downtown. 4 fouls. He did have 7 assists and 6 rebounds, but this was an ugly night. And of course, Kevin Durant, who rolls out of bed and it's just amazing, he has 32 points, 9 of 17 shooting. Ben Simmons did not play again because of his sore knee.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, Jared Simmons didn't play?
What a shock, right?
Yes.
The Brooklyn Nets are just, they're out here crashing. They're burning. You want to talk about simmering? The Brooklyn Nets, they are burning and simmering on the side of the road right now. And so Sean Marks, in continuing his conversation with the media today, he talked about Steve Nash getting the boot and what Sean is actually looking for next.
I don't know that it fixes everything. You know, I have no idea. I mean, I think what you're looking for is a leader. We're looking for that for our group. We're looking for somebody to have poise, charisma, accountability. We're not playing up to our expectations or where we should be. So you hope this this new coach can come in here and put this group in the best possible place to succeed.
What? It's like the teacher from Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Hey, let's play the beginning of that real quick just again. Let's hear that again.
I don't know that it fixes everything. You
okay,
know,
stop
I have
it right
no
there.
Idea.
You don't know if getting rid of Nash fixes. You know the answer to that.
I don't know that it fixes everything.
You know the answer is it doesn't. That nonsense. Get out of here.
I don't know that it fixes everything.
That was the dumbest thing that Sean Marks said as a part of that press conference. There isn't fixing anything with these Brooklyn Nets. It's talent. And it's not official that Ime Udoka is going to, you know, join the team. We expect it to be official by tomorrow. Is he going to rough these guys up? Is he going to be more forceful when it comes down to their defensive rotations and their effort? Is he going to reconnect with Ben Simmons, someone who he worked with down in Philadelphia? Is he supposed to put the, I don't want to say a muzzle, but is he going to get Kyrie Irving to chill the hell out? Maybe. But I guess if Kyrie Irving doesn't want to do that himself in a contract year, how the hell is Ime Udoka going to do that? And based on the way things are going right now, at what point does Kevin Durant say, all right, please, let's try again. Get me out of here. Because that might be coming around the corner as well. The Brooklyn Nets are a disaster. It's crazy. On the West Coast, you have the Los Angeles Lakers. On the East Coast, you have the Brooklyn Nets. Two teams who a few years ago brought in all the star power in the world, and we know the star teams don't always work. Sometimes it's a roll of the dice. Sometimes you got to hope for health. For the Brooklyn Nets, COVID, vaccinations, religious talk, vacations, injuries, players quitting. I mean, I can go on and on. And now Steve Nash, who was brought in to basically get this team over the top in what was to be an easier job, and he got paid nice for it. He got paid about $9 million a year. He got a four-year deal. He's okay. He didn't deserve this nonsense. There isn't a coach in the NBA who would deserve this nonsense. And I guess misery loves company, because Ime Udoka, he's getting a chance and an opportunity a few months after the Celtics said, go sit over there in the corner and keep your damn hands to yourself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Steve Nash is gone as the head coach of the Nets. Is this going to make a difference? Or are the Brooklyn Nets screwed either way? The phone lines are open. I'll also allow you to hear from Charles Barkley. He shared his thoughts and opinions not too long ago on the NBA on TNT. But right now, right here, it's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know that it fixes everything. You know, I have no idea.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
I'm telling you that the Brooklyn Nets parting ways with Steve Nash is not going to make too much of a difference. Maybe later on in the season, but I'm just counting on a new disaster. I don't know when it's going to come, when it's going to take place. Is it Kyrie Irving? Is it Durant frustrated and too through with this? Is it Ben Simmons, who is still not playing, two consecutive games out with a sore knee. He didn't want to be in Philly. He didn't want to be there. Team basically mistreated him. He didn't want to be there. Then it was his mental health. Well, yeah, obviously. I think we can still see that. And then it was his back. He needed a procedure. And now he's back. Pardon the phrase or pun. Now it's his knee. So between his head, his back, his knee, he's just an automatic game of operation. He's that game that you teach the kids. What, Shep, what is it? Shoulders, knees, and toes? Something like that crap. You know what I'm talking about?
Operation.
No, not the game operation.
Gotcha.
There's a kid song, like shoulders, knees, and toes or something like that.
Is it choreographed by Jameis Winston?
What, the whole body hurts everywhere?
Exactly, yes.
Where does it hurt, Jameis? Everywhere. Pain everywhere, everywhere. Of course. Something else is going to happen with the Nets, man. And are we really shocked that this is taking place? It was only 2 years ago when Steve Nash got the job that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant sat down on KD's podcast, The Etceteras, which is still a very odd name, and they talked about all of them having a chance at coaching. I mean, the writing was on the wall. Listen to this.
We don't need somebody to come in and put their coaching philosophy on everything that we're doing and change up the wheel and, yo, you guys need to start doing this. And we start running on the first day of practice. It's just like, no, I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jack Vaughn could do it one day. It could be, it's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
Oh, my goodness. And Jack Vaughn, this man lost tonight, basically keeping the seat warm for Ime Udoka. That should just get played all day tomorrow on WFAN in New York City. Just all day. Should get played all day. You needed evidence? Here it was.
Jack Vaughn could do it one day.
Yeah, and he lost. What a disaster. Charles Barkley, prior to the game tonight, with the Nets loss to the Bulls, Zach LaVine dropping 20 points in the fourth quarter. You want to talk about a lack of defense? No, this man stepped into multiple open threes. Nobody in front of him. Barkley said, this is a terrible look for the Nets, and they hung all of the disaster around the neck of Steve Nash.
You let these players run this man off his job because they were acting like fools. The players, this is all on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons. This Steve Nash just a scapegoat. Nobody was talking about how bad of a coach Steve Nash was 3 or 4 years ago. All of a sudden, these guys started acting like fools and jackasses. And now, oh, Steve Nash can't coach. Like I say, I don't know if Steve Nash can coach, but I know 3 or 4 years ago he was winning playoff series. Just a bad look. And from a public perception, you let these players run this man off his job because they were acting like fools.
True. Early last year, they would have been on their way to the finals, but Kevin Durant has a big old foot, and Kyrie Irving, what else is new? He's injury prone. We haven't even seen that portion of Kyrie yet. This past season, nothing. Swept by the Celtics. And now he's done. He's gone. Shep, who's next? Ime Udoka expected to be the head coach. What happens after that? Who? It has to be Durant, right? He's like, I'm out of here.
You know what, JR? Honestly, you said it. The wild card's going to be Kyrie, and you're well aware of this. He's on his last leg in terms of what the next big contract is going to look for him, having the desirable 16 wish list, and then only one, that being the Lakers, even putting out interest there. So Kyrie understands his back is against the wall, which means in theory you should get the best of Kyrie Irving this particular season, but he's still the wild card because, JR, think about this now. the way the landscape of the NBA is, you truly only need two superstars to really contend in this league. Not many teams have what the Nets have in Kyrie and Durant. And then you got to look at, obviously, Claxton, the emergence of him this season. So Ime Udoka may be the solution for this team, but it all hinges on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. We have seen the best of Kyrie Irving as a basketball player.
This season, I would agree with that. I mean, he wasn't great tonight, as you alluded to, but this season, we're seeing the best of him, no?
No. What do you mean? Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
I mean, absolve tonight for a second. What you've seen from him on the court, not just scoring the basketball, but what he's doing in the trenches, in the middle of the bigs with his rebound game, what he's doing defensively, you don't see a different Kyrie Irving emerging this season because of the contract issue?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. I think in his career, is he going to put up numbers this season if healthy? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, tonight was an awful night, terrible night. Is he going to put up his numbers? Yes. But if I have to think about his career, are teams going to run and come chase him down at the end of the season? Possibly. If he can shut up the rest of the way, can he actually do that? I doubt it. You know, is he going to last the entire season and play all the way through? Maybe this year he will because he is on a contract season. I just don't have optimism. Yeah. His career peaked in 2016 when he hit a three-point shot. Hmm. That was 6 years ago. If you think about everything that has taken place since then, wanting to be traded, going out to the Celtics and telling everyone that he wants to stay and then he wants to leave, and man, he decides to go to Brooklyn. And it's just, it's distraction after distraction after distraction. As he gets older, as he continues to up and up and into his 30s, are we supposed to think different is going to take place?
That's fair. But, JR, you've alluded to this. You said, you know, in your monologue, Steve Nash is one of the all-time great point guards, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you want to debate the MVP, two MVPs, et cetera. But you and I both know the Achilles heel of Nash's 19-year career was he was not a defensive player at any point, including his rookie season. Ime Udoka might be one of the two or three best defensive coaches we have in the association. That is what, JR, has kept the Nets from even attaining mediocrity this season.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with Kyrie Irving being a massive distraction.
That's a fair point. But I'll tell you what, aside from, and we listen, you talked about it all last season with the State of the Union that Marcus Smart gave, talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Outside of that, have you ever seen any kind of, you know, I would say tension within that Celtics framework in terms of players going after each other and management? No. Udoka, as a rookie, held that team in check, and he had their ultimate respect. He's going to get KD and Kyrie's respect instantaneously.
Well, we're going to talk about Ime Udoka later on. He can garner the respect and push the buttons. I don't know if there is a foot big enough to go into the ass of Kyrie Irving where he can relax for a full season. If he does it, good on him. If this is the biggest disaster for the Brooklyn Nets this season, good on him. There's still plenty of time. We are in November. Let's see how far they can roll. I don't know if they're going to roll to June. They have the talent to do so if they can play. Where's Ben Simmons? How's Kyrie, small Kyrie, going to hold up? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Andre is calling from Vegas. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, my brother, man? I appreciate the show, man. But check this out, man. You know how I look at this situation with the Nets? I look at it like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, okay? So Aaron Rodgers is LeBron James, and Tom Brady is Kevin Durant. I hope that neither one of them, man, make the playoffs. I hope they all go down, crash, burn, and be embarrassed and walk away. Kevin Durant been one of the last guard. He a punk for saying all that. And then LeBron, man, pay somebody some more money instead of LeBron. Maybe the Lakers can do better. JR, you my man, bro. Hey, yo, you in Baltimore City without a bulletproof vest? Yo, you the man, my brother. Take it easy, homie. Peace.
Well, thank you, Andre, caring about my safety from Vegas. And somehow, some way, he was also able to slip LeBron James into the conversation. I guess that always has to happen some way, right? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. On the other side of the break, there's other things going on in the world of sports. But the college football playoff rankings, they just came out. We're going to talk about that. We'll spend more time talking about the effect, potential effect, that Ime Udoka will have on the Brooklyn Nets. The NFL trade deadline went down.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man, thank you for having me, man. Enjoy your show, man. I've been tuned in for about a month, man. I've been locked in, so I appreciate your work, man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. You just heard Marco Belletti share this with the news update. The Phillies are handing out a beatdown. Now in the top of the eighth, they lead the Astros 7-0 in Game 3 of the World Series. Bryce Harper living up to the expectations. Yeah, I'd like to see him win a championship. I think all things considered, we know that he left the Nationals. He gets that title, and people are like, oh, he's not a winner. Oh, there's nothing going to happen with Phillies, with the Phillies. And then we know the Phillies ain't start off all that hot. This entire year, it has all been about the New York Mets. It's been about the Braves. And then the Phillies are the other team in the National League East. And right now, they have a chance to go up 2-1 in the World Series. It's not done. It's not finished. It's not a wrap. That's a hell of a start, especially for a team that only won 87 games. Bryce Harper, 1-for-3, getting a party started. 2-run home run. Good for him. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of the World Series, we know that as the championship for baseball. As the college football season, I don't want to say winds down, but damn it, it is the beginning of November. We're going to blink, and then we're going to be staring at bowl games. Toilet Bowl, Cheez-Its Bowl, Roto-Rooter Bowl, and then more importantly, the National Championship, of which there is a 4-team playoff. It hasn't expanded yet. Give it a few years, that will happen. And so tonight, amongst 6 versions of the rankings, we got the first list. And to the shock of no one, Tennessee is number 1. Ohio State is number 2. The defending champion Georgia Bulldogs are number 3. They're going to take on Tennessee this weekend. And then at number 4, we got Clemson. I don't know if I'm going to trust Uyangala later the rest of the season. I don't think I would. You got Michigan at 5. They have other issues like their players getting beat up in a tunnel. And then you have Alabama currently at 6 with their 1 loss. This is going to change. This is going to go back and forth for the next several weeks. People are going to lose their minds over the rankings. People will look at TCU and say, oh, my God, they're not in here. Me, not so much. Not sweating the college football playoff rankings on, what's today, November 1st? Leave somebody else to do that. The one thing that I'm going to see, or I want to watch, actually, is Tennessee and Georgia this week. Georgia having key members of their defense go down. Tennessee looking to just continue and establish their dominance. I want to see what the local Bulldogs for me can go out there and do. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Rich is calling from Chicago. What's up, Rich?
Hey, JR, I was good to you for my college football for take that you have, but I agree with you in terms of early, the first seedings, playoffs, not the national rankings, because they don't mean anything, and you know that.
But you still have to climb over some guys. But here's what I want to ask you. I don't understand how you can get a weak Clemson team in the top four when they haven't really beaten anybody. Could have lost to Syracuse and Wake Forest. You've got TCU, which everybody, I think they have the Cincinnati flu. I think after what happened.
Well, small, yeah, Big 12. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of favoritism and kind of the traditional powers. And I got to tell you something else. I know it's going to sort out, especially this weekend. As I mentioned to you before, I was there last weekend in Jacksonville, and Georgia's for real. I think.
Were you drunk? Do you remember the weekend?
Georgia-Tennessee is the game of the year by far.
He was drunk.
But here's what I think will happen. One thing will be settled. Whoever wins the Michigan-Ohio State game will jump, right? One of them is going to get knocked out. So if one of those guys gets knocked out, Clemson goes undefeated and TCU is undefeated, then you're probably looking at, let's say Alabama runs the table and gets into the SEC championship game and by hook or crook beats either Tennessee or Georgia, whoever wins the East. Then you got a mess. I don't understand how they're going to, I'm all for expanding, not to 12, but I think we can make a case to go to at least 8.
Well, they're going to – well, I'm going to answer you, Rich, and then – but right. I had an important question that I don't know if you heard me. Were you intoxicated over the weekend?
No.
Good.
I know better. I'm 69 years old. If you asked me that 10 years ago, the answer would always be yes.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations on being responsible. Thank you, Rich.
Yep. I wanted your take on Tennessee-Georgia.
I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give you my whole take on the whole everything you just said, right. Rich. Appreciate
okay.
you.
Thank you.
No doubt about it. I'm gonna take the Bulldogs. You can call it homerism all you want. I know there's a possibility that Tennessee might walk away with the win, especially with Hooker leading the way for the Heisman. You got a linebacker, defensive end down for Georgia, and so it's going to be an adjustment period. And I know if I have to look at the history of the Bulldogs, last season might be the anomaly. Last season might be the year where they, quote unquote, got over the hump. Here's the deal with the actual college football playoff. I think we talked about this in the summertime. I could just probably put 4 or 5, 6 names in a hat. I can close my eyes. And we know exactly who's going to be there at the end of the season. It's the same damn thing every year. You just said it. The Horned Frogs are basically Cincinnati. The Bearcats send almost all of their top defensive players into the NFL. And where are they at now? And so, yes, participating in the Big 12 is not going to do anybody any type of favors. I am also surprised that Clemson is there. I've ignored them throughout the course of the year. Throughout the course of the season, I looked early on at what Uiagalelei was doing, and I said, oh, this ain't the move. And so I don't expect Clemson to stay in that top four. Tennessee will stay there. The Bulldogs will stay there. It's likely between Ohio State and Michigan, one of them will stay there. And in that final four spot, I don't expect to see it occupied by Clemson. And so what everybody will do over the next several weeks is pitch one gigantic fit week after week after week. Let's see what happens with the Vols and the Bulldogs when we get to the weekend. But when you have to boil down who the final four teams will be, it's the same old thing every year. I'm actually looking forward to an expansion of the college football playoff. Is it going to be for a lot of TV mess? And when I say mess, potential blowouts, teams that wouldn't necessarily be there? Yes. Am I expecting an unexpected team to go out there and go on a magical run to a championship a la the Final Four or the NCAA tournament? No, I'm not. It's a money grab, but at least teams will be able to wake up and say, well, we got a shot. We got an opportunity. We didn't get left off of the rankings. Oh, we only got 4. We got screwed. Little team got screwed. In a couple of seasons, that's not even going to matter. We're already moving towards a space where we have these super conferences. We got teams out in the West Coast joining the Big Ten. It's a new time. There are not going to be any more excuses. And so what the rankings look like today on November 1st, what they look like 6-7 weeks from now, totally different. Nothing to be up in arms about. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm still trying to understand the whooping that the Spartans gave a couple of those Wolverines in the tunnel. Hey, Shep, wasn't it? It was only a few weeks ago. I can't recall the team, but there was a head coach. He was upset at, like, everybody coming together. He was just saying, oh, man, we need to let one group of players go in before the other one. And then a couple of weeks later, we see the Spartans and the Wolverines. They got a royal rumble in the tunnel, man.
You're not kidding. I mean, and it's funny because Jim Harbaugh, you know, people felt like did not belong as the head coach of the Wolverines. And then we've seen what he's done in back-to-back seasons. This isn't something he should have to be dealing with right now. And JR, to your point, it is inevitable. When you have all that chutzpah and all that ego and all that tension and moxie in one setting, and it's both teams, it's bound to happen, right?
Youth as well.
That too. The brain's not fully developed until the age of 25. Some people it takes a lifetime. Most people 25 years old.
Yeah, there's a lot of people whose brain never develops. That's a good point. 855-212-4CBS. Owen is calling from West Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Owen?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm excellent. What's up?
Hey, you know, you're talking about the Big 12 earlier. You're talking about TCU being Cincinnati. Let's go ahead and be honest. I mean, if Oklahoma or Texas or OCU, anybody of those guys, if they're up there, they're going to be in the top four. Just because TCU is undefeated right now doesn't mean we should take away from the Big 12. When Oklahoma and Texas decided to go to the SEC and they made that big announcement, now the Big 12 is nothing. What happened?
Correct. Well, I mean, those are two teams that ain't doing much of anything right now. It's all about name value and recognition. That's what we know it is. As you just
absolutely
said, if Texas and Oklahoma were actually playing worth their weight this season, then we'd have a different scenario, but they're not. So ain't nobody thinking about TCU. Hey, you know how many TCU games I watched this year?
Zero.
You're damn right. And so that's
I only watched a TCU game last week because I live in West Virginia and I was betting against West Virginia because they're dogs. They're dog water.
Well, that's the point. Ain't nobody sitting down watching them. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, more of your calls, and we're going to talk about the NFL trade deadline.